This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
James was saying, this is a new living, he said, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the Word of God. Now, we talked last week about making room for God's Word. We said it's a constant process of clearing stuff out of our heart. You say, well, when am I ever going to get to the place that I'm never having to clear things out and change and grow? I don't think we ever reach that place. I think that's a constant thing. And so we want to continue to grow, continue to change. So we're clearing stuff out. Now, I won't go into that as much tonight because I want to talk about what James said next. He said, and humbly or however you want to call it, receive God's word that's planted in your heart. He said, for it has the ability to save your souls. Now, he's writing this to Christians. So you're saying, well, whoa, why is he telling them that God's word has the ability to save their souls if they're already saved? Well, that term, save your souls, can be used interchangeably in the Bible. So you don't get caught up on that. But really what I believe he's talking about here is more in that soulish realm, because the Bible often says that it talks about renewing our mind. We've talked about that a lot in here. Romans, the 12th chapter, said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And renewing of your mind means that you're changed. Many of you understand that when you came to Christ, you came and your spirit was changed, but your head was a mess. Sometimes your emotions were a mess. Sometimes your thinking was up. Hey, not sometimes. All of our thinking is off. And all of our thinking is in the process of changing. How many of you have been Christians for a period of time and you recognize that your thinking has changed over a period of time? And you're realizing, hey, and it's changed for the better. It's changed for the good. And God's word has the ability to save your soul, to absolutely begin to go in, and especially, and I'm gonna throw this out too, because I think a lot of times people forget this part, but God's word can help you with your emotions. That you begin to put God's word in your heart. Listen, God's word's powerful. We just read that in Hebrews. If you're reading with us in Project 345, didn't we just read in Hebrews? It said God's word's alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to pierce between the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He said, God's word is powerful. It's alive. And so oftentimes, if you treat it like, it's just God's word, we're going to talk about that tonight. You don't want to do that. But if you'll take it and begin to put it into your heart, I'm going to tell you something. You could have been an absolute emotional wreck. And if you begin to plant God's word in your heart, you could become one of the most stable people that anyone has ever met. You can go from, they're looking at you going, you're a mess. You're just an absolute mess. And they're going to come back to you and go, you know, you used to be a mess. What happened to you? You can say, and don't go, well, I went to church. You go, no, God's done something in my life. He's done something good in me. And listen, we've got a lot of folks out there that need something more powerful in their life than any drug that anybody could subscribe. Anything that they can come your way. And listen, I have no problem. People take medications and they have all kinds of conditions. But I do know that God's word is more powerful. And you can begin to put God's word in your heart. And it will begin to change your emotions. It will begin to change your thoughts. James says you receive it. If you humbly receive it, it has the ability to save your souls. But let's talk about receiving the word. Because this is something that's interesting. How you receive God's word is vital. Luke, the 8th chapter, we're going to read this passage here. This is where Jesus is explaining the passage of the sower sows the word. So let's read it here, Luke 8. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God, and those along the path are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root, and they believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. So he's talking about having... Now, I used to read that sometime, and I'll be honest with you. I thought it wasn't fair that I could have God's word planted in my heart and the devil could just come steal it. I didn't think that was right. But how many of you know that sometimes you can read something and your thinking may not be right? Yep. I used to listen to music growing up. No, a lot of you did too. Did you ever listen to a song and you think you thought the words were this? The Doobie Brothers did a song when I was in junior high school called China Grove. It's a good song. Smile, people. We're in church, but you can relax. I'm not going to sing it or play it. But I swore for years it was trying to grow. Whoa, trying to grow. It was trying to grow. I was thinking. And Elton John's song, Rocket, I still can't figure out the words to Rocket Man on one of the things. Some of you people that missed the 70s just missed it. I'm sorry. You had to endure some other decade of music. The 80s, the 90s. Making friends and influencing people tonight. All right, here we go. Here's the thing. You can hear something and not hear it. So can the enemy just come and steal God's word from your heart? Answer that is no. He cannot. Not if you receive it. He said the word was planted, and Jesus gave really heart conditions. He talked about the wayside or along the path. He talked about the stony ground, thorny ground, and the good ground. And so when Jesus is giving that parable, he said a sower, and he's giving a parable. The sower goes out and he throws it, and some falls on the path, and the birds come and steal it. Well, if you think about it, falling on the path, the paths are hard. The seed never got in the ground. So when God's word goes out, there are people every Sunday, every Wednesday, there are people who hear it and receive it and go, oh, that's good, that's God's word. And there are people who hear it and go, pfft. And guess what? They don't receive it. It never gets in. Well, have you ever brought a friend to church and you happen to like this church, you happen to like me? And you bring them to church and they kind of walk out and they go, and you're like, wasn't that great? And they go, I guess. I mean, if you like that kind of stuff. I've watched people. That's why I really try not to focus too much on faces. Because you wouldn't believe the faces I get when I'm preaching. Or the people that go to sleep. That's just not encouraging. If you're preaching away and someone's just. Hey, I still don't look at joy when I preach to this very day. Because when I first started, we were at Lakewood years and years ago. Joy sat in the front row, and I would look over at her, and she would have this look of sheer terror on her face. It's like, it's a horrible look. I just learned I don't look at Joy. I told Matthew and I told some of the leaders, if anything ever happens to Joy while I'm preaching, I said, y'all need to take care of her because I'm not going to even see it. I don't notice that she's here. But people can come and somebody can just receive and their whole face brightens up and someone just looks like, I am so stinking bored, would you please finish so I can get out of here? And so what's the difference? Two things. It takes humility to receive God's word, and it takes faith to receive God's word. It takes humility to receive. So in other words, when you hear God's word, if you go, I don't believe that. You haven't received a thing. And then it takes some faith to do it. Humility basically says is, God, you're right and I'm wrong. God, if this is your word, I may not understand it and I may not know how, but if it's your word, I'm in. That's humility. And faith says, I believe it. Romans 1st chapter. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. This is one reason I love the gospel. Man, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We preach about Jesus. We preach about the word of God because I do know this thing, guys. If you believe it, it's God's power to salvation. And if it's God's power to salvation of your spirit, it's also God's power of salvation that will free you of an addiction, it'll free you of depression, it will free you of oppression, it will free you. It's God's power to salvation if you believe it. Amen. That's all. You just got to believe it and say it's God's power to salvation to people who have a certain IQ or people who have a certain look. All you got to do is go, I believe that. And that's why Paul said, I'm glad to preach this. He said, it's God's power to salvation. Every week we preach this gospel. Every week people respond. Every week decisions are made for Christ. People are saying yes to the Lord. Why? They hear it, they believe it. Two things to receive God's word. You need the humility to go, Lord, your way. And then you need the faith to go, I believe that. And if you'll do that, then the enemy cannot steal that word from you. When I came to the Lord at 22, I had been raised, and I thank God I was raised with Baptists, and they're big on salvation. Once saved, always saved. Hallelujah for that. That helped me. Because when I came to the Lord, I remember making a decision for Christ. I received the Lord, and I knew I was born again. But then I did some stupid stuff a little later, and the enemy comes to steal that. And he'll come. Now, he may have done this to some of you. He doesn't have a new bag of tricks. He uses the same ones because they're effective. He'll come back to you and go, well, you didn't get anything. You're not saved. He'll call people who've been Christians for years, and they just have to go through a bad time, and the enemy will tell them, you're not saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't be acting like this. If you're saved, it wouldn't be that way. Listen, that's where you have to go, listen, I'm not saved because I said I felt like I was saved. I'm saved because I made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, and because I am saved, no one can snatch me out of my Father's hand. I'm in His hand. I'm good. I'm good. But you've got to hear God's word, and then you have to believe it. And so the first group, they said they didn't even receive it. The second group, they received it, and it was evidenced by joy. How do you know when you believe it? There should be, especially with good news, there should be something that kind of lights up in you. You hear something. If I say something about, thank God the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And you go, oh, that's good. And you kind of light up. Yeah, that's, you receive it. So the second group, they received the word with joy. They heard it. It's good news. The Bible's good news. The Bible's got a lot of good news in it. So when you hear it, you go, yes, that's good news. I really believe, it's in my heart, that when you come in here, when you leave, you're better off having heard, having received, if you believe it. If not, you're thinking, I just wasted an hour. If you believe it, you're thinking, this is good. God's word's working in me. But if you believe it, there ought to be some joy about you. There's a lot of people I don't know here, and they're constantly coming up to me going, hey, we've been here for 6 years and we've never met you. And that's why I stay down here in the front. I'm here. And so come meet me. And don't be embarrassed to tell me you've been here for 10 years and we haven't met you. That's okay. But if you came down and you and I had never formally met, and the disadvantage is you know who I am, I don't know who you are. That's why when I see you out in public, y'all like... are looking at me funny when I'm eating. It's like, I know what's going on. So... But if I walk down to, you walk down the front, we shake hands, and I go, hey, tell you what, you doing anything right now? And you go, no. Hey, let me buy you some tacos over at Taco Cabana. Well, if you're hungry and you believe me, your face should go, hey. You just lit up. It's like, oh, midnight tacos, yes. I like tacos. And so... If you believe my word, if I looked at you and said, you know what, the Lord just impressed me to send you $1,000. I don't know why you're laughing. I've done this before. Don't line up after service, but I've done this. I've done this before. But if I looked at you and said, you know, the Lord just impressed me to send you $1,000. If you looked at me and went, okay. I believe it when I see it. You didn't believe me. But if I say, you know, I'm going to send you $1,000, if you believe that, when you leave here, you're like, shoot, doggies, Jethro, he is going to send me $1,000. That's really good. But so when we hear God's word, one of the ways you know it's Now, listen, I'm not looking for a huge emotion here, but on the inside, something on you ought to go, that's good. And there's some joy there. And so he said the second group, they received it with joy. Here's the problem is they just simply didn't hold on to it. They didn't continue it. Now, this is why James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word, this is New King James, which is able to save your souls. God's word has the ability to do some powerful things in us, but it's not automatic. This is why people are always amazed. I know them. They have been in church for 20 years, and he stole money from his company, left his wife, ran off with the secretary, and stole a truck. And they're good Christians. Not that day. It was not. But the idea is they've been to church. They're going to church. They've been to church. Listen, sitting in church will not make you a strong Christian any more than sitting in your garage will make you a strong car. But here's the deal. It's a good place to start. It's a great place to start. But we're going to find out that James kind of keeps on with the process. And he's saying, and this is where James gets as pointed as James can get. And so he says this. You not only have to hear it and receive it, you have to practice it. Put it into practice. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Carrie, can you put that up in the New Living Translation? It said, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. So he's saying you got not only to hear it, but you have to practice this. That word deceive means to reason falsely or incorrectly. So it's incorrect to believe that we're going to get results without any action. That I can hear it and hear it and hear it, and by hearing it, that automatically means it's going to be productive in my life. No, that's the best place to start. Hearing God's word is where you want to start. Feeding yourself on God's word, that's where you want to start. But at some point in time, you're going to have to begin to put it into practice. And that's when that kind of makes the connection. So I want to give you what Jesus said about it, because we have what James said about it. Jesus referred to it as the wise versus the foolish person. Now, this is Jesus, and he was speaking very candidly. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, this is Jesus speaking, he said, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, a lot of people know this parable. We know this one. I think we sang, didn't we sing tonight about
solid rock,
sinking sand, solid rock. We sang that tonight. But what Jesus is talking about is, and not a lot of people say, well, this means salvation. You got to build your foundation on Jesus Christ. He is your salvation. That's exactly right. But it doesn't stop there. What happens is now we begin to take the rest of the verses that we see that coming in. We start to build our house there. And and Jesus said, if you begin to hear his sayings and begin to do them, he said, you're like a wise man. Now, Luke said, who dug deep and put his house on a rock. Good foundation. Dug deep. How many of you know, anybody ever done any digging? Amen. Digging is hard work, especially if you have a shovel. Yes. And dig with a shovel. That's hard work. I dropped out of college, went down to Florida with two really yuppie little fraternity brothers of mine. One was a cardiologist's son. The other one was an executive's son. We went to work for a crew digging holes. They were amazed at our inability to dig holes. I'll never forget one of them. He walked up to me one day. He went, all they called us was college boy. He went, college boy, you can't dig no hole. That is a college boy hole if I ever saw one. And so they taught us how to dig a regular hole. And so on my resume, where I put landscape engineer, I'm working that shovel. That's all I was doing. I'll tell you something about digging, people. Digging is tough. Digging is hard work. Thank God for backhoes. Digging is hard. And Jesus said, if you hear what I'm saying and you dig deep, you lay a foundation on the rock, he said, but then when the storms come, your house won't fall. Now let me, I want you to stay with me here because we're going to go. Remember, we're talking about not just hearing God's word, but putting it into practice. I'm going to give you some practical things here in just a second. But Jesus said the one who heard and didn't do is like a foolish man. You don't even want to look that word up. Foolish actually means silly, stupid. And the Greek word on foolish is moros. It's where we get the English word moron. Don't look at anyone around you. If you look at him, you smile and go, you are not a moron. You are not. That means dull. And what Jesus is saying is, if you hear and you don't do, he said, then you're foolish. I was going to say moron, but that's just not kind. I'm just not going to go there. He said, then you're foolish. He said, and then when the rains come and the winds come and the floods come, he said, that house fell. Now, I want you to listen to this. Did it say that God sent the rains and the wind and the flood? No. But let me tell you, in life, we live in a world where rains and winds and floods will come to you. And just because, and some of you think, well, I don't understand why all hell's busted loose in my life. I've been going to church. In fact, I went 3 times in a row, and I don't understand why. Oh, listen, going to church won't keep the problems from coming your way, but what you hear here has the ability to strengthen you so that the problems don't crater you. So it will help you. So let me just give you a practical idea. Said, well, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand why this person didn't make it and this person did. Now, here's where people go, well, I guess God just loves this one and this one's got some horrible sin in their life and God doesn't. No. Jesus gave 2 men. He said one heard the word and did it. The other one heard the word and didn't do it. He said when the storms came, one fell, one didn't. Listen, guys, he's put a lot of this in our hands. When Joe and I were first married, I'm going to help you out here. Y'all looking like, is it going to get tough? No, I'm going to talk about us. When Joe and I were first married, we had a horrible marriage. It was horrible. That's why I have hope for any marriage out there. Because mine was bad. If you don't believe me, ask Joy. It was bad. We fought all the time. We fought all the time. But you know what we had learned? We'd heard some teaching on walking in love and watching our words. That death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Can I tell you something that Joy and I did not do? We did not look at one another and go, I just hate you. I just hate you. I don't know why in the world. What was I smoking when I married you? I tell you what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to divorce you. We never would say that word. Say, well, that's legalistic. No. We didn't believe in speaking death over our marriage. We fought enough without injecting that into it. And so we never used that word. And you know what Joy began to do? Joy began to put 1 Corinthians 13 up all over the house. She would open her medicine cabinet and she wrote out 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. I think she had it in the Amplified. Love endures long and is patient and kind. And it had all what love is. She would open her medicine cabinet. There's the love scriptures. I would go into certain rooms in the closet. There's the love scriptures. You look under to get some Drano. There's the love scriptures. There's love scriptures everywhere. I'm like, why do you have the love scriptures everywhere? She said, because I need help. I'm married to you. I need help. I need... And so we started practicing some of those love scriptures. And then we started practicing that if we got angry, we would not go to bed angry. And we started to practice. What are we doing? We're hearing the word, we're doing it. We're hearing it, and we're doing it. Our marriage now, we have a good marriage. We get along really well. We enjoy one another's company. In fact, we'd rather hang out with one another than anybody else. We really are just, we're super close. We go on vacations without the kids. It's wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. Our kids are grown, for those of you who think I'm a horrible parent. They're grown and gone. Okay, but here's the deal. Did God just look at us one day and go, you know, bless their hearts, they're pastors, and they're trying hard. I'm just going to bless their marriage. No, because a lot of the people that we went to Bible school with, we counted down the couples. A lot of them are divorced. A lot of them, their marriages never made it. And a lot of them dropped out of the ministry. So what was the difference? God just loved Alan and Joy more than he loved anyone else? No. No. It's because we begin to hear what Jesus said and we begin to do it. Hear and begin to put it into practice. Did it change overnight? No. But it began to change. And we used to fight numerous times a day. Then we got down where we would fight once a day. We thought that was good. We're patting ourselves on the back. Well, we fought once today. That's pretty good. And then it got to once a week and then once a month. And now sometimes we'll go months without having much of even of a disagreement. Yeah, we're not perfect. I mean, every now and then, bless her heart, I have to help her. And, you know, just bring. But what am I saying? I'm saying, kid, your marriage, if you're praying, oh, God, change my marriage. Oh, God, do something with my marriage. Oh, God, do something with them because, oh, God, it's their fault. Oh, God, help. Now, I'll tell you, if you start praying that way, I can promise you what's going to happen is the Lord will also start talking to you about what you can do. But if you begin to put God's word into practice, can I tell you something? When the rains come and the floods come, and you're still standing. Listen, you got to get it out of your head that God loves certain people more than he loves you. Please. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Please get it out of your head that because I preach this means I have an advantage. Actually, the Bible said, I come under greater scrutiny because my teaching will come back and smack me in the face. Or my wife can look at me and go, what did you just speak on the other night? And so, as a teacher, listen, as a minister of the gospel, I have no more advantage on doing God's word than you do. And so if the enemy's told you, oh, he just has an advantage, everything has worked out well for them, everything they touch is blessed, God just loves them, he doesn't love me, he loves them, they're wonderful, I'm not. Lose that. And begin to understand that Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'm going to show you who he's like. And if you talk with anyone around here whose life has changed, they will tell you they just didn't wake up one day and God just decided to go, poof. You know, I'm just going to bless them. They wake up one day and go, whoa, I'm a wonderful Christian now. It comes from digging deep. And sometimes you don't feel like digging deep. And you dig anyway. And you stay with it. And if you'll stay with it and you'll hang in there, I don't have to guarantee you. God's word guarantees you. Your house will stand. And things will come your way. And it will not rock you. It might shake you some. Now, I'm just going to ask this time for a show of hands. You've been a Christian for a little while. How many of you realize you handle problems better now than you did 5 years ago? Isn't that great? Hey, listen. Look around. That's possible. Listen, some of you 5 years ago, when a problem would come, you would go get drunk or you would go get high. I said this in church, guys. Y'all looking at me like, he said that in church. Yeah, I did. Because I'm not stupid. And I know that 30 years ago, I would go get drunk or go get high. But now, thank God, I don't, I hit a problem. Man, we have problems. You don't think at a big church like this we have problems? Seriously. The Bible said where there are no oxen, the stall is clean. Yeah. If you got a big church, you got lots of oxen. There's stuff going on all the time. Aren't you glad, though, when I hit a hard time, I don't go, dude, I need to smoke a joint. I am really having a hard time. Wouldn't you expect more of me as your pastor that I'm not smoking reefer and I'm not drunk? Thank you. Thank you for that vote of confidence. Okay. Say, why are you even going through this? Because people deal with real problems. And here's the deal. If you're smoking reefer getting drunk now to handle problems, I got good news for you. If you'll come to Jesus, you begin to put his words into practice, you can get better and better and better and better. And one day you can look and go, I don't need that stuff anymore. God will help me. I'm coming through. You can make it through this. Man, I can't throw stones. I was there. But the idea is we've got to lose this idea that somehow if I go to church long enough, and listen, I'm an advocate for going to church, but it's not just coming to church. It's taking what you hear and putting it into practice in your life. Listen, don't try to get the whole message, but look for one thing that you can begin to do differently. I know people sometimes come to me, they go, I really don't like Sundays, but I love Wednesdays. And I understand Wednesdays has a different flow. I share things on Wednesdays. I don't share on Sundays. But I will promise you this, every Sunday if you'll come, I will give you at least one thing. Usually it's three. I will give you something you can do and you can put into practice. And so the ones who have ears to hear are the ones who are not just going, oh, I heard that and I thought that was good. He shared a little bit different perspective last time. No, I'm listening because I want to put it into practice. And when you're praying, say, Lord, help me to do this. Last week I gave a lot of practical ideas. How can I put this stuff into practice? And this one, you can. Maybe I've shared something tonight. Maybe it's about words. Maybe it's about just with reading your Bible. Begin to put something into practice. It will help you. That's the idea. James says, don't kid yourself. If you hear it and you don't do it, he said, you're fooling yourself. He said, don't do that. How many of you know the biggest form of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and to think you're going to get different results? So the idea is, Lord, help me change. Well, it's 8 o'clock. Y'all listen really well, or at least you faked it. Would you bow your heads? And we're going to pray. Father, thank you so much for this. Help us, Father, put things into practice. Father, for those who are still leaning on drugs, still leaning on alcohol when they go through problems, Father, thank you that there's hope for them. And you're not angry with them, but you believe in them and believe they can come out. Thank you, Father, for those who are struggling in their marriage. Thank you that there's hope for them as well. Thank you that we can build a house and dig deep and put a house on a rock that can stand even in the middle of horrible storms. Thank you, Lord, you don't send the storms. Thank you that you send help. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Real quickly, if you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I know it. He knows it. And I'd like to. Or Alan, I used to have a walk with God, and I walked away from Him, and I want to come back. Would you pray for me? We're going to pray. Sitting in your chair, not asking you to stand up or come to the front, we'll pray for you. And this is a prayer we're going to join you with. But if that's you tonight, real quickly, and you just want to acknowledge that, say, Alan, would you pray for me? Real quickly, slip your hand up across. Yes, way in the back. Thanks. Anybody else? Yeah, I got you. In the back. Thanks. Thanks for your courage. Appreciate that. Thanks for your honesty. Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to. You can pray this prayer with us. You can pray it out loud. Maybe you prayed this prayer over and over and over again. That's okay. Keep praying it with us. It's an important one. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now. I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.